Well, good morning. It's my turn to say good morning. This is Happy Memorial Day. Did you notice that? Yeah. If you've served in the military, stand to your feet. There's one. We got one military guy in the whole house. Give him out of a hand. He served in the military. You know, he was a Marine, and they say they just need a few good men, and we've just got one of them. That's all we need, right? Amen. But praise God for those who served in the military. And something I just want to share with for a couple of minutes before I go into the sermon is in honor of our military. You know, they fought for our freedom, but does anybody here know what symbol they used? What did they fight for? What symbol? What banner did they use? They fought for the flag. There's something about the flag. Now, if you do an Old Testament Bible study, you'll find that the children of Israel, when they went to battle, they carried standards or flags. And the troops would rally around a certain flag or a certain color. And they used flags and the various colors and designs of flags to send instructions. And so flags have always been important ever since, you know, guys first started, you know, needing to follow the commander or follow an army. The flags have been important, and our military guys fought for the flag. And they fought and they died for the flag. And, you know, you can add many things to that and under it. You know, they fought for our liberty and our freedom, you know, and for us as people and for our nation as a whole. But the flag symbolizes all of that. When you see the stars and the stripes, you see that flag, it means me, and it means you, and it signifies all that we are as a nation and a people. And so that flag is big in its significance. It's all encompassing, all complete in its significance. The flag's vitally important. You may have noticed we have a flag on the porch out there. It's unknown to me, but why all churches don't fly the flag on these days, I don't know, but most churches don't. And that's between them and God. But, you know, a lot of people want to keep separation of church and state, but as long as my church is in the United States, I'm going to honor the United States. You know, and I appreciate the opportunity to fly the flag. And when we first opened Faith Ministries Church was the last Sunday of May. What's this? Last Sunday of May, 1990. And so as you might see over here, we're celebrating 26 years today. We're going to leave this up for a month. We're celebrating 26 years today. Today is the actual 26th anniversary, not of Faith Ministries as a chartered ministry, but as Faith Ministries Church in Douglas. And so that's you. And I, before the service, before you go home, not before the service is over, but before you go home, please visit our little display over here. There's some lovely memories. You'll see Nina as a child, you see Lucy as a child, you see me as a young man, and Maldo was passing out some little hodgepodge pictures. Yeah, did you get that? I put that in there. That was in our newsletter publication a few years back, but it just shows some of the fun we've had over the years. And you know, don't pay any attention to the dates on it because that's incomplete. That's another story. But the reason I wanted you to have that is because this expresses a lot of what we do and who we are. That little piece of paper has a lot to say about the fun we've had and the exciting things that we have in store. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. But back to the flag. I want to read you just a short history of the flag. The Stars and Stripes. Oh, but by the way, I'm reading this history out of a book that was copyright printed in 1940, so some things are not up to date. Now, if you were born before 1940, this is all just right for you. The Stars and the Stripes, as we know it today, was by no means the first American flag. For instance, one flag used during the early days of the American Revolution showed a rattlesnake against a yellow background with the inscription, "Don't tread on me." There's also been a number of other flags of various designs, and we have one right up here. An appeal to heaven. This was George Washington's personal flag that he flew over his personal Navy ship. And this was in the pre-days or the first days of the Revolutionary War. And the first military, even before there was an official United States, There was these guys like George Washington that were rebelling against the tyranny of England, and they were praying for and fighting for the liberty that we have today. And this is one of the first flags that was flown. And do you notice the message there? I mean, get behind this in its thought. It's like George Washington and his troop, they needed help. The whole world was saying, you guys are nutso. You can't defeat England. Nobody defeats England. Everybody's tried for centuries. Nobody defeats England. You guys are nuts. You're a bunch of farmers and cobblers. You know what a cobbler is? It's what you eat with cherries. Oh, cobbler is a shoemaker. Cobbler's a shoemaker. Yeah, they made shoes, called them cobblers. You know, we don't have a lot of those up-to-date names now. But anyway, they're just plain old guys. They weren't soldiers. But they had a vision of liberty. They had a vision of living under freedom. And George Washington made his appeal to where? I can just see him on his knees. It's okay if I play with my imagination, right? Play with me. George is on his knees. And he's saying, Lord, everybody says we're nutso. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough guns. We don't have enough guys. We don't have enough experience. But you know, Lord, this was your idea. You put this hunger for liberty in our heart. And Lord, you gave us a basic plan for how to start up a nation of all things. And Lord, we can't appeal to any other nation on the earth, but we can appeal to heaven. And because this is your idea, we're appealing to you. Help us. Guess who won the Revolutionary War? I'm telling you right now, when it's God's idea, an appeal to heaven works wonders. Today it does as well. Back to the flag. And so we have here another one of the flags. And then in June 14th, 1777, nearly a year after the Declaration of Independence, Continental Congress adopted the following resolution: that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, and that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field, representing a new constellation. It had been said that the red stood for valor, white for purity, blue for justice. 13 stripes and 13 stars in the first flag stood for the 13 original states. You guys were in the third grade, right? You got this history earlier. We're refreshing. Later, when two new states were added to the Union, Congress enacted a law in 1794, increasing the number of stars and stripes to 15. By 1818, there were 20 states in the Union, and Congress enacted another law, providing that the number of stripes again be 13, stripes be 13, but thereafter the star would be added for each new state admitted to the Union. This law has remained in effect. As each new state has been added to the Union, a new white star has been added to the blue field in the corner of the flag. Amen. One of the most colorful stories that we have grown up with is around the story of Betsy Ross. And this is when George Washington and Colonel George Ross and Robert Morris had been appointed by Congress to plan and design a flag. It is told that they called on Mrs. Betsy Ross in her Ark Street home in Philadelphia to ask her to make a flag for them. It's been said that she folded a piece of paper in such a way that she was able to cut a five-pointed star with a single snip of her scissors in order to show General Washington how the five-pointed star would look. Ha ha, isn't that great? I mean, I just love this stuff. And you know, it goes on. I'm not going to read this whole book, but when it tells how to display the flag, you know, how to hang it, which direction it turns, la, la, la. And then we come to the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible, not invisible. I was 15 years old before I realized it wasn't invisible. Indivisible, can't be divided, amen? One nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And we as school children, of course, you know, grew up with that. It's so beautiful. And there's just in a nutshell, a very brief history of the American flag on our Memorial Day, the flag that our guys and gals have fought for over the years, and we just appreciate the flag very much. Amen. Now, back to our church anniversary and church history. Barbara and I are both going to be sharing some things, and I don't want to get so involved in history this morning that I fail to encourage you in the making of history. Do you know we're making history? We're making history, and that is so important. The beautiful thing about past history is that you can learn from your mistakes. Amen. And you can also see what you want to repeat or what you want to cultivate and make better. So history is vitally important. And I want to read a scripture to you from Romans 8. And sorry, well, we don't have anybody on the computer, so it doesn't matter. But to turn your Bibles to Romans 8:18. And I want to use this passage. I'm going to read Romans 8:18 down through 23. I've chose this passage because it shows us somewhat how this church came about. I can say with all honesty, I can say with all truthfulness that this church was not my idea. It was God's idea. And like when George Washington was praying and saying, Lord, this was your idea, so we're appealing to heaven. This was God's idea, and you might wonder, well, how did that drop in your heart? How do you know when something's God's idea? How do you know it was time? You got all these questions. Well, you just have to stay in tune with the Lord and follow your heart. If you're in tune with the Lord, He'll tell you what to do and when to do it, and it's hard to explain the mechanics of it. How do you know when you're hearing from God? Well, you get acquainted with Him, and then you recognize His voice. Amen. Did you find Romans 8:18? I'm going to read down to through 23. Paul is speaking here. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." From the time we went into full-time ministry, we'd been started in part-time ministry in 1984, and then in full-time ministry in 1987, and this church was started in 1990. But the 5 years prior to the starting of this church, establishing of the church, we suffered. I mean, we suffered. We didn't know what we were doing. We just knew we wanted to serve God. You know, we hadn't had the training. We hadn't had the schooling. We hadn't had, everything that a preacher is supposed to need. We just determined to serve God. We were in debt so far that the debt counselors were beating down our door. I even had a banker threaten me over the phone. I mean, ugly threat. I mean, I can just sit here all day and talk about the ugly things that were happening to us when we're trying to serve God. Nobody understood why. And I don't recommend my path for anybody else, but it was what God used to teach us. And so, I can relate to this when Paul says, I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And I could see from the early days a glory of God that was trying to rise up in our lives and in our community. I could see that there was a glory of God that wanted to rise up in the form of this church. And not by any means that we are the only church. This church town is full of wonderful churches. And we love them, we support them, we pray for them on a regular basis. You know that. But even though we were suffering, there was something that kept us moving on. Something kept drawing us. Let's read on. 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. That was me in a nutshell. I was earnestly and eagerly waiting for God to do something magnificent in my life. I mean, it's like, God, I want some revealing of the Son of God in me. I was so hungry for it. So hungry to see the Son of God revealed in me and through my family and through the ministry. And I was just craving these things. I want to jump down to verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And I just knew that if I could get things in order in my life, I would find some liberty. I was bound, even though I was seeking God with all my heart, I had certain bondages that had to be broken on, certain mindsets that had to be broken off, chains, everything from financial upside downness, upside down financial situation. I'll get this right. To the facing the enemy that we were facing. The devil didn't want us even to be in this community. But there was something in me that knew that if we could hang in there and get things together, there was going to be a glorious revelation, a glorious liberty. And in verse 22, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together unto now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. Everybody say groan. Groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. I was groaning on the inside and I was groaning on the outside. Now, we made friends with a lovely couple that were very connected to a huge move of God in California. And they had, you know, they had all the Rolex watches and the nice clothes. And, the, you know, I mean, they had been successful in ministry over a lot of hard work and over the years. And they were very connected to TV personalities in ministry and la, la, la. But God wanted to make changes in their life, and they, the bottom of things just kind of fell apart, and they just kind of fell with it, and came down to where they didn't have anything but to go. All they had was a watch, you know, and the battery was dead. I mean, precious couple, and they moved to Bisbee and spent a season in Bisbee, restructuring their lives and their ministry, and eventually got back on their feet and back to California and la la la. But they went through some things. Well, we made friends with this couple, and they were so different than us. I mean, we were, you know, hicks from the sticks, and they're like Snob Hill residents, you know. But something clicked in the four of us, and we just fell in love with one another. I remember one night we took them to Mexico, and we were invited to speak in one of the Mexican churches, and they received an offering, and this brother from California, his name was CJ. I won't go any further than that, but don't want to embarrass anybody. But CJ preached an awesome sermon, and they received a Mexican offer for him, and there were a lot of pesos, but that's not much money. And they gave him this love offering, and he said, well, you know, I can't accept that. You guys need it worse. And they said, no, maybe the widows might, but we want to be blessed. And they made him take this offering. And I encouraged him to take it, you know, receive the widow's offering. Don't beat her out of a blessing. And anyway, I was broke, Barbara was broke, his wife was broke, and he had $8.36 in the offering. When the pesos were counted and turned into dollars, you know, the evening produced $8.36. And that's all we had between the four of us. So we came back across the line, and we were all hungry. We hadn't eaten all day, and we didn't have any money, and very little food in the house. And they're living in Bisbee. We're living on 4th Street in a shack in Douglas where you could look through the wall and literally watch the neighbor through the wall. That's how big the hole in the wall was. But we had $8.36, and we were hungry, so we all went to Burger King when it used to be over here on the main drag coming in, and we all ordered Happy Meals. Yeah, we had enough money. The way it came out, we had enough money to order two children's meals and divide them. And we sat there and laughed and cried and laughed and cried that the Lord would bless us with this meager meal. We had such a good time. Now, the reason I brought all that up is because you need stories. Well, anyway, we spent a lot of time praying with this couple. And one night we're over here on 4th Street at our house, and we are praying. I mean, they needed God. We needed God. We needed the revelation of the sons of God. We needed the manifestation. We needed the creation delivered. And we were in groaning and travail. We're crying out to God. We're making an appeal to heaven. You know, when things get serious, you get serious with God. All of a sudden, your timidity goes out the window and says, God, I gotta have some help. Don't you realize what's going on? God, please, are you there? Did you wake up this morning? Where, please, are you? I mean, that's how desperate we were. That's how desperate we were. Well, anyway, my wife's grandmother gave us a buffet, another story, and the buffet is a... And I got up again and started leaning on the buffet, and I started crying out to God. And all of a sudden... Now, you're going to laugh at this, but go ahead and laugh and get it over with. I went into birth pangs. No, I didn't used to be a girl. But I know what a birth pang is because I went into it spiritually so intently that it affected my physical body. And I thought that my guts were going to wrench out of me like it. Did your mother use a wringer washer? Some of you guys, you're old enough, know your mother used a wringer. One of the two rollers are rolling. You put the clothes in, it squeezes the water out of them. We'll explain it to the young later. I felt like my guts, pardon the expression, were running through a wringer washer and it was just coming out of me. I can't really show you how bad it was because it was bad. I thought, I must be dying. Is this a heart attack? Is this, you know, what's going on? And it was a spiritual birthing of this church. I didn't know where I was going with the ministry. We had lovely things happening in Mexico on a limited basis, and the doors were opening there. But I didn't know that we were going to be doing anything in Douglas proper. And just a few days after that spiritual birthing, that groaning in travail, the birth pangs that I felt, the Lord dropped it in my heart with all clarity that we were to establish a church in Douglas for our family, for Douglas, and as a tool to reach the world. And I shared it with Barbara, and I said, Barbara, God wants us to establish a church in Douglas. And she says, I don't think so, and I'm not going to teach Sunday school just because I'm the pastor's wife. She later relented, ended up being a Sunday school teacher. But this scripture means a lot to me because we know that the whole creation groans and labors in birth pangs together until now. And I felt that birthing of Faith Ministries Church Douglas. We have our hands in a lot of other ministries. We're involved in many other ministries, outreaches, and our ministry to Mexico is quite a lot larger than what we do here in Douglas. But I birthed this church. She's my baby. And she'll be my baby to the day I pass into glory. God may give me an assignment and I'll be somewhere off and somebody else will be standing in the pastorate. That's between, you know, that's God, whatever he wants. Even at this time and at this point in history, you know, I'm not always here in the pulpit, but there's always someone of quality that is here. And even though whether I am the pastor, quote unquote, that has little to do with the fact I am the father. I might be able to move the pastorate and its ministry around a little bit, but I can't change the father thing. You're my baby. This church is my baby because I birthed you and I am your father. And I just want you to know that that's forever. And even though our assignments might take us into different things, different places doing different things, we'll always be your father and we'll always be here for you. And I just want to encourage you when we ask someone else to take this pulpit, if Eric comes up, if Nina comes up, Mitch, various ones, Denise, different ones that preach, we place them here under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and we place them here in the name of the Lord and in our name. And nothing would please me more than that you would honor my children, and my ministers, my sons in ministry, honor them as you do me. Because when they're standing here, I'm standing here. Does that make sense to somebody? We had some revival highlights that we shared with you about a month ago. And just amazing things going on around the world right now. And we just get to be a part of it. The revival in the womb of my intercessors will not be stopped. She's in her 9th month. I shared that about a month ago. The revival in the womb of my intercessors will not be stopped. She's in her 9th month. Now, we talked about the birth pangs. This church is a result of spiritual birth pangs in me personally. My wife, Sister Maria, who else is here that's in the prayer team? Becky's upstairs. Connie. There's 3 or 4 others that come periodically. They come to the prayer Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 10 o'clock here in the prayer room. And they've been doing this for years, and I have watched and listened and observed these prayer warriors, these intercessors, go into birth pangs for Douglas. I have watched it, and I believe I can safely say, spiritually speaking, they are in their 9th month. They've been interceding and groaning and travailing for Douglas for a number of years. And spiritually speaking, the 9th month is upon us. I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, I look at these empty seats and I'm going, oh, Lord, did you forget? But you know, he's just looking for 300 good men. He's just looking for 300 good men. Whether it be this church, others, I know another several other churches in town, their numbers are down. We're going through something. We don't seem to understand it. We can make excuses and think, well, the numbers are down because of this or because of that, you know. Pastor run off with a piano player, you know, whatever. Church numbers go up and down. We've been around. Barbara's pastor's father was a pastor 60 years, and we watched how it works. And church numbers do this, like the waves of the ocean. If you know anything about the waves of the ocean, just because there's a slump doesn't mean the high's not coming. It means the high is coming. And I can see that our intercessors here at Faith Ministries, as they have interceded for Douglas and for you as a church and for many, most of you personally, they've got your name on a list, honey. Your name's on the list, on the hit list. They pray for you guys. They pray for you guys. Their name, I think everybody in here, except maybe a couple of the new visitors, their name's on the list. And I just proclaim and decree in Jesus' name that our ninth month is upon us. It's baby time. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know, but it's baby time. Get ready. God's going to move in Douglas because we have made an appeal to where? And it was his idea. Where's Lucy? She's upstairs with the kids. Peter, is that piece of paper back there that I gave Lucy about West Virginia? Let me borrow that. Lucy, who's upstairs with the kids this morning, Lucy Serrato, is very involved in the Bible club at school, at the high school. By the way, she graduated the other night. Yay, Lucy. And this report comes, this is very recent, this month. I'll just hit some highlights on it. The Lord did it. It was a sovereign move of God. West Virginia. On the day that 70,000 people jammed L.A. Coliseum, which was June 9th, to cry out for revival for the nation. Huh? May 9th? No, the Azusa now. That was June, this month. What month is this? What year is this? Escape. Appeal to heaven. I need to catch up. Okay, God sent a wind of Holy Spirit revival many miles away to the humble town of 500 people in West Virginia, a coal mining country. We've prayed for many years for this, says Mitchell Baez, pastor of the Regional Church of God in Del Barn, West Virginia. His church had a live stream from Azusa Now event on April 9th. All I had to do was read. And their prayer gathering, little did we know what would happen next, the very next day. Pastor Mitch had invited Matt Hartley, a 31-year-old evangelist from Tennessee, to preach at the church's spring revival. Impressed of the Lord to connect with him, I knew he was a young evangelist. After Hartley checked his schedule, he proposed April 10 through 13. He came and started that Sunday, and we had a tremendous service that morning and evening on the 10th, says Pastor Mitch. Next day, Hartley spoke at a chapel service at the church's Christian school in Williamson, an adjacent town. Another tremendous gathering on the 12th of April. Hartley spoke at a prayer club. This is why I wanted Lucy to have this paper, because her prayer club has been very successful. Hartley spoke at a prayer club at Domingo Central High School by the invitation of the students. The prayer Bible club normally has 30 to 40 students show up. Everyone was shocked when 450 students away, more than half of the high school, showed up. For you who have good memories, you'll know that it's been prophesied here for the last 3 or 4 years that there's going to be great revivals sparked and take place in the Douglas High School. This is evidence that it's already happening. It happened in West Virginia. It can happen in southern Arizona. Wow. Hartley preached the gospel and preached against sin. It's not popular, but he did it anyway in a lengthy sermon. And he gave an altar call. 150 students, out of 450, 150 students responded to receive Christ. There was a lot of emotion. They cried, and he prayed for them. They were touched. It was a move of God. Goes on, another whole page. I'm telling you, folks, we're in our ninth month. We're in our ninth month. Here's a little town in West Virginia that, like the little town in southern Arizona, they're crying out, God, we got to have revival. God, we got to reach these people for Christ. And God showed up. My Bible tells me he's no respecter of persons. And I'm saying, God, all due respect, sir, but if you can do it for West Virginia, you can do it for southern Arizona. I have to believe that. I have to believe that. While Barbara comes and shares a couple of things, I want you to know that I always have wanted and still greatly desire an international church. I can't think of anything that would please my heart more than to see these seats full of about 20 or 30 different cultures. I hope we have to get special earphones and about 6 interpreters into 6 different languages so that everybody... I just really do crave, and my spirit longs for, an international church. It's just in me. It's just in me. I want a contemporary church. Barbara and I were born and bred... We were born and raised. Isn't it wonderful when I finally get it right? We were born and raised in a traditional church. We love those old hymns. But I can't think of an old hymn singing church today that's moving with what God's doing today. The contemporary church, nationwide and worldwide, is the one that's growing. And I don't want to let our stained glass windows hinder us from growing in the contemporary move of God that's sweeping the world. We have young ministers here. I depend on Nina a lot for decoration around the church, and we were holding back on some summer decorations because we've got new carpet coming, hopefully this week, praise the Lord. But she'll put up some decorations, put up some stuff, and sometimes she gets real wild with it. And she'll ask you, she'll say, is that too much? And what do I say? Go for it, baby. I have the greatest of respect for the old hymns and the stained glass windows. But I have a greater respect and a greater hunger that consumes me for what God's doing today. And it's going to be contemporary. What God is not behind. He moved in a great way back then, but he's moving in a great way up now. And I will be a part of that. And in Jesus' name, I decree that this church will find a way to be a part of that. And if this old hymn singing preacher has to step back and give the microphone to Eric or Nina or whoever, we're going to do that because I want the power of God in a contemporary fashion that will get into people's lives where they live now today and get them for Christ. The old religious format that we used to use in testifying to people on a personal basis down at Walmart, what was working 30 years ago does not work today. People are not hungry for religion. They're hungry for a living God. They're hungry for a contemporary God. They're hungry for a God that lives the same world they're living in. Why did I say all that? Because I want an international church and I want a contemporary church, and I'm asking you, help me build it.
Hallelujah. We didn't have this all planned out. We're just kind of today talking from our hearts, but I remember when we first moved to Douglas in the little house down on 4th Street, and it was, you know, there was things rough. But during that time, there was a travail in my spirit that was born, and I began to go into an area of prayer that I hadn't ever really been into that much before. But I just began to weep in prayer before the Lord all the time. I would just weep and weep and weep. And I was praying for Mexico, and I was praying for Douglas. I was just travail for this town and for Mexico. And I would cry and I would cry and I would cry. And I couldn't, you know, my girls, I quit wearing mascara because I was always had a black face. And my girls would say, you don't have to cry to pray. You can pray without crying. But there was a travail that hit me. And I began, part of it was in Mexico, and I began to cry for all of those people that God would send someone. And I was praying down that way, and then went in and we did a survey, and we surveyed a 100-mile radius around Compass, and there was like four tiny, tiny struggling churches, Christian churches in that whole area, lots of towns, over 200 towns. And things broke out, and now there's hundreds of churches. A lot of the towns have three or four churches, and there's a church in almost every town now that we stood in prayer for, and things were birthed in the Spirit. But we would pray, we were going to church at the time down in Mexico at Jose Luis's church. But every night we weren't in church, we were walking the streets of Douglas, and we would walk all over Douglas. And we'd walk, and there was such an evil force. We would walk down Main Street. Every street light that we would walk under would go out. And we would walk, and when we'd leave, they'd come back on. It was like we were really battling a spiritual battle. One night, we just felt led to go into the Gadsden Hotel, and we went in, and we went up in the elevator. And there was a door that just began to shake violently. It was just like it was rattling off its hinges. And we were just saying, devil, you can't have this place. You can't have this town. You can't have it. We are here to bring the gospel, and we will not give up. We will not give up. We are claiming this town, and Satan, you have to move out because we're moving in and there's not room for both of us. You know, and we spent hours walking the streets of Douglas praying. And then later the Lord gave us the burden to start the church here. But we have had, from the time we moved here, we had a burden for the town. And I have, in my spirit, seen a victory in this town and a great move of God coming to this area, sweeping through. And we've seen it in prophecy just continually. It just continually comes up of a great move of God arising in this place, that there being a healing dome over Douglas, and people will come here from all over the place to get healed. And it's not going to be a denominational thing. It's going to be the river of God flowing for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And that's been in our hearts. For about the last 3 years, I have in my spirit seen two real tall angels that stand right on both sides of those doors. They're about 7 feet tall. And I walked through and I would see them. I would just feel them. I'd see them. And I finally said, God, what are they here for? And the Lord says, they're here to protect the new baby that's going to be born. You are pregnant with a revival here. And these angels are here to guard the birth of that revival. And so there's what we see or don't see with our natural eyes. There's some very important things coming down in the spirit. There's some very important things. And God has plans for this area, for his glory to be manifest. Hallelujah. You know, it's like Douglas has been known as Cocaine Alley. It's had a lot of negative names, which were true. But God, it's going to be known for the glory of the Lord that covers Healing Central, Revival Central. It's going to, the whole identity of Douglas is getting ready to change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we, you know, we are the intercessors, and we have been, you know, we have been carrying a travail for this town. And we see prayers answered all the time, don't we, Marie? We see God answered prayer all the time. When we pray, we get reports, you know, God answered prayer. But the prayer that we've prayed the most is for the tsunami wave of God's glory to sweep through our city, and it will, through this whole valley. It will. Hallelujah. And it's like Calvin says, you know, this move of the Spirit that we're pregnant with is not going to be aborted. It's going to be born and do what God has called it to do. Hallelujah. God has good things, good things for us and for this community. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's just like God has been conditioning our hearts. Our prayer team, we get out and we go and we stop in front of every church and we pray for them from the bottom of our heart, you know, for every one of God's children. That his glory be manifest there, that he move there, that he bless the pastors. We pray for them. You know, sometimes pastors go through a lot of battles. and you know, we know their heart. We know what they're going through. And we cry our hearts out for them. You know, it's not, we want our church full of people. We want mighty move of God here, but we want it for all of town. We want the kingdom of God established. We don't want to establish our own kingdom or our own thing. We want God's kingdom established and flourishing. We want people touched with heaven. Hallelujah. We want heaven to touch earth. Father, not our will, but your will be done. And Lord, let your will be done on earth, in Douglas, Arizona, like it is in heaven. That's the cry of our heart. Lord, let your will be done in me. Amen. Hallelujah.
Isn't she pretty? I have a hard time hearing her because I just want to look at her. Oh, by the way, there's a little brochure. We have a number of brochures and tracts on the back there. You probably know, most of you know, but if you don't, this one's called Faith Ministries Church Purpose and Mission. And I encourage you to go through those tracts periodically and use them. They're good for evangelism tools. They're good for information. About 90% or more of them are made up. And the author of them is our daughter, Becky, who's upstairs with the small ones just today. Becky kind of just sits back in the back and, you know, you think, well, what's Becky doing? Well, you'd be surprised. And one of the things she does is keep up with the messages on the tracks, and she has authored most of them, and they're just really good stuff. This particular track, Mitch and Eric brought to our attention back about 2 or 3 years ago. They said, we need a track that talks about our mission. And that's when, shortly thereafter, we did this, and the girls, our artists, two of our artists that aren't here today, Jasmine and Denise, did this. Isn't that beautiful? Well, this is a lot of the highlight of what's in the little track that I had there. And this is who we are. It's not only our goal, but it's who we are. And experiencing God's presence, we want to prepare an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord so that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and miracles will be in continual operation. You might think, well, God can do anything, anytime. Yes. But I want you to know he does most of it in an atmosphere that's created for him. An atmosphere of heartfelt repentance and obedience and respect and honor and praise and worship and glory. And when he gets an atmosphere like that, that's where you see God move. And that is our number one goal, is to prepare an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to be a house of prayer standing in the gap until our community has an Acts chapter 2 class revival. Amen. Teaching God's word, we receive from a plural ministry where the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher corporately guide the body so that all members are involved as helps, ministers, and soul winners. Amen. We're here to train believers to do the work of the ministry and send them into the harvest field. We're here to be a launching pad to send missionaries into all the world. Showing God's love. Is that up there? We want to have a loving family atmosphere so people will feel like they've come home when they come to FMC. Love people where they are while the Word of God and His presence transforms them. You know, it's important to love people like they are. They don't come in the door perfect. They come in the door hungry for God, needing help. Join the club! We want to keep our focus on loving God and loving people and be quick to forgive. We want to be a blessing to our community by prayer, Christian example, and community service. We're going to root for Stevie. Yeah. Living God's purpose. Is that up there? Take it to the streets. Take the Christian experience outside the walls of this church and minister to people where they are, reconciling men to God. We're here to love and to care for the earth that God gave us. We do think green, believe it or not. Pursuing God's purpose. And there are scripture references for all of these lead thoughts that are on this. I encourage you to look at this. Look up the scriptures that go with them. This is good sermon material. If you're a preacher, you can preach this. It's all an outline was complete with sermon notes right here. You can just start preaching. Just read the word and preach. But anyway, and by the way, on the back is something we have on all of our tracks. Do I need to be saved? And scriptures on how to get there. Amen? A guideline on how to get saved. A guideline on how to be born again. How to convert to the message of Christ. And so, a little bit of a, what do you call it, promotional advertisement there. The tracks, please, use them for the glory of God and use them as you need them. Because that's who we are. This is where we're going. This is a purpose. This is a reason for being in Douglas. Amen? I don't know about you, but I believe that Douglas needs us. Our vision lives. Everybody say, our vision lives. I never was an English teacher, and I didn't listen to the one I had. But something that I've picked up along the years is how important it is for something to be living, ongoing. It's good to live. It's good to have lived. It's good to go and live. But living, ongoing, is so important. I don't want any part of our vision to grow stagnant. I want it to be living. Living. You wonder, well, I've been feeling kind of like I'm not adding much to the, you know, I don't know where I'm at. Well, just read something simple and go do that. And you'll be a part of a living vision. It's not that hard to find something to do for the Lord. We've got it right here in front of you. Just pick one of those and go do it. Well, I don't know. Is that simple? It is. As we pursue the vision, two distinct things are apparent. Number one, we see the need for more fruit. You know, you can't have a vision without realizing, you know, I need to figure out how to get there. This brings us immediately to the realization that sometimes we think we lack. It's wrong thinking. We don't lack. We got it. The greater one lives in you. And he's ready to go to work. Well, I just don't know what to do. Well, the one that lives inside your heart knows what to do. Go out there and make yourself available and just open your mouth and let him speak. Ooh. We look back on accomplishments. We appreciate progress made. Amen. I appreciate history and progress made. These are worthy considerations, beneficial in our planning for the days ahead. We learn by our mistakes. So it's important to remember that our vision was God's idea. Therefore, it's big. If I can do it, it ain't very big. But what God is doing is big, and I want to be a part of that. Our bottom line, our mission one, I like to call it. Everybody say mission one. O-N-E, big letters, capitals. Mission one is souls. We must never lose sight of souls. That's our reason for being. That's our reason for having all this up on the wall. That's our reason for being here as a church. That's our reason for living. It's our reason for breathing, souls. Turn around and look at the little wooden sign that's hanging over the door under the Believe the Word banner. What does it say? Does it say someone's going to need Jesus tomorrow? Well, that's the truth, yeah, but that's not what it says. It says someone needs Jesus now. What if you or I, what if I was the one needing Jesus and you just ignored me? I'm lost. Where am I? I need Jesus. And I don't even know what I need. And who's Jesus? And I need Jesus. I need God. Who's God? Is he alive? And you just walk on by. Good morning. Have a nice day. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because we meet people every day that need Jesus. And most of them cover it up with a fake smile. Or they cover it up with an ugly frown and start telling you how terrible things are. Either way, it's a cover-up. They just need Jesus. And when do they need him? Years ago, there was a book came out that was quite popular for a while called Satan's Cellar. I don't remember the author. This is back in the 70s, back before you were born, Nina. Back in the 70s, and this guy was a Satanist priest. And he served the Church of Satan, and he became extremely powerful. He would drive by businesses. He would drive by homes. And in the name of Satan, he would say, that will not be here tomorrow. And the fire department would be the only one there the next day. He would literally burn down dwellings under the power of Satan. He had extreme power over people. It's all in the book, Satan's Cellar. Look it up on Google. And something, he became converted to Christ and made an amazing transformation, became a man of God, who won many souls to Christ. But something that he carried over, something he was taught in serving Satan that he carried over into his Christian walk. He would be in communication with evil spirits who would tell him to do something evil against someone, put a curse on someone, put a curse on their business, put a curse on their family. And he would say, well, you know, okay, but when do we do this? And the devil's response was always, there's no time like the present. Do it. He learned that lesson serving Satan, but he carried the principle over into serving God. And when he came to a situation of an opportunity to lead someone to Christ, and he'd say, well, maybe, you know, today's not real good. You know, I'll probably see him again next week or maybe even tomorrow. You know, no, there's no time like the present. Do it now. And using that philosophy, that way of thinking, he won so many souls to Christ because people need Jesus when? There's no time like the present. In 1999, we were getting ready to face the end of the world. They termed it Y2K. All computers were going down. Earth was going to become chaotic. And all of the Mad Max movies were going to come into play. And I had friends that were storing up guns and ammunition, food, because Y2K was going to put an end to everything as we know it. And during that year of 1999, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to set up a 25-year plan of action, a 25-year vision for Faith Ministries. And I said, but Lord, did you miss the news? It's all over. When the clock strikes midnight, it's going to all be over when the year 2000 starts. He said, I want you to set up a 25-year plan. I shared this with some of my Christian friends, and you know what they said? Have you not heard of Y2K? This was some serious business. The upside of that came and went. We were in Colorado listening to a wonderful sermon at a church in Colorado Springs, and they just happened to have a guest speaker that day that was one of the technicians that had set up the computer system where it would all go off on Y2K. And he said, I am one of several that's responsible for this mess that we're looking at here in a few months. But he said, you know, we can fix it. We made the mess. We know how to fix it. Relax. And the guy was under an anointing to say that, and I relaxed. And I started preaching and teaching that God was going to carry us on. Good things were going to happen. Well, here we are, you know, into this 25-year vision. We're in 2016. 16 years have passed, and we're still looking at souls that need Jesus now. Mission 1 is still alive today. And it's going to be alive tomorrow. Mission 1 must continue. What about the end of 25 years in the year 2025? Well, he'll probably give us a 50-year vision about then. You never know what God's going to do. Just be ready for everything. Just think of it this way. Everything that happens on the world scene, on the governmental scene, and in the spiritual scene, no surprise to God. He'll fit it all in. Whatever he tells you to do at the future, he'll fit it in. He'll fit it in. It'll all work out. Everybody say, it'll all work out. Let's all stand to our feet. There's so much could be said. But I'm hungry for God, aren't you? I challenge you to stay open-minded because God wants to speak to your brain. You probably know by now that we talk a lot about God speaking to our hearts. Yeah? Well, there's another way to look at that. As God speaks to your heart, your understanding has to be fruitful, or your heart won't be able to make any sense out of what he's saying. So keep your minds alert and awake and aware and hungry for God. And follow the leadings of your heart. And let a mind that's full of the Word show you how to walk. Let a mind that's full of the Word, let that mind that's full of the Word, like the Bible calls it, the mind of Christ, full of the Word, let that lead you and guide you. And the way to find out if I'm being led by God or not is, are there souls to be saved in there? If what God or what you think God's leading you to do doesn't produce souls, that's not God leading you to do that. Everything God leads you to do will have an end result of reaching someone for Christ, making the world a better place. It'll have something to do with the increase of good. Father, in Jesus' name, sir, you're the author of our history. You're the author of our present. And you're the author of our future. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, we just would like to repent for the things we have done and not done in the realm of failure. And Lord, we just make up our minds today to do a better job for you. Lord, every employer wants someone that's going to work for the company, make you a good hand. And Lord, we want to work for the company, the kingdom of God. We want to make you a good hand. We want you to look down on us and say, that son, that daughter is kingdom minded. They're kingdom minded and they're being led of the Spirit. They are expressing the Word of God in everything they live. Lord, we want you to see that in us. And we know there's a lot of areas in our lives that need to be cleaned up, adjusted, recalculated. Lord, we just open our hearts up, open our minds up. is you'd help our way of thinking. We'll turn our hearts towards you with all heart. We'll allow our minds to be cleansed by the precious word of God and washed by the water of the word. Lord, that we will learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because your word says in Romans that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or children of God. Lord, we believe because this was all your idea that we've got a bright present and a bright future. And we will not allow the mistakes of the past to dictate to us what's going to be in the future. No, we'll learn by our mistakes and go on towards a better future. Help us, Lord, to make right decisions. Help us to man up, to cowboy up. Make good decisions and follow hard after them. Lord, that we will have compassion as you have for this community. Lord, Faith Ministries Church, the Faith Ministries does a lot of things in a lot of places, but Faith Ministries Church was born into the kingdom of God for such a time as this to benefit Douglas. And Lord, help us to do our part. Help us to do our part. We're here for Douglas. We're here to bless Douglas. We're here to save Douglas. We're here to see souls saved. We're here to pray for the government. We're here to make a difference. We're here to bless and strengthen and encourage other churches that preach the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray that you bless those churches. Every church in this community that names Jesus as Lord and Savior, bless them. Enrich them. Every pastor that preaches the uncompromised word of God, just fill them with the anointing that reaches out and changes people's lives. Lord, let our churches here in Douglas become soul winners, community savers to the glory of God. Lord, we love you dearly and we need you in our lives. Lord, like Solomon, in Solomon's early days on the throne, he said, Lord, I need wisdom because I don't know how to go in and out before your people. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be a king. And Lord, even though we've got some history behind us and some training behind us, as we look at the future, we don't know what it holds, and sometimes we don't know how to be king. We don't know what we're going to do. Take us by the hand, Lord. Lead us. Fill our hearts with wisdom. Fill our minds with the word. Fill our spirits with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, take our hand and lead us into the future. Guide us into the future. Help us to remain teachable. That we'll remain teachable and never get to the place where we think we know it all. Lord, we love you and we love this city. You've placed us in this city, so therefore we love this city. We love its people. We love this city. We love those that guard us and guide us and direct our government. We love these people, Lord. They're just people needing Jesus. We love them. Show us how to reach them. Show us how to embrace the people of Douglas with salvation. Show us how to walk before them as you would walk. Show us how to meet their needs and heal their bodies. Show us how to bring deliverance to their souls from the captivities of the enemy. Oh, Father, you've brought us into the kingdom for such a time as this, and you've planted us in Douglas for such a time as this in the kingdom. Lord, help us do our part. In Jesus' name. Everybody say this. Say, in Jesus' name, and with his help, I'll do my part. And Douglas will be better for it. Welcome to Faith Ministries. Welcome to this church. And welcome to this move of God. And if you don't know how to swim, you better obtain a life vest, because the wave of glory is on the way. Amen. Mama, you wanting us to pray for that baby? Come on, bring that baby up here. Anybody else got a baby needs prayed for? Barbara, we need some. Rosie, come help Barbara. You look like Jessica, you come help too. You look like the motherly type. You girls go over there and help Barbara pray for that baby. You can pray for the mama too, but especially the baby right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Reach your hands up here and let's pray for that baby that all's going to be well. All going to be well. Good report. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Isn't it wonderful? New life. 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 Lord, as these precious mothers pray for this baby, Lord, we pray for this baby that's in the spiritual womb of this church. We pray that all will be well with that baby. All will be normal and healthy and natural with this baby. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. May the glory of God flood this mother and flood this baby. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glorious presence of the Holy Spirit. Just fill this body. Fill these two people, this mother and baby, these two people. Fill them with your glory, Lord. Fill them with